Let's read God's word together in the Acts of the Apostles, Acts chapter 9 at verse 19. Acts chapter 9 at verse 19, it's page 1103 in the Pew Bible, and it continues the story of Paul's conversion and lets us see the circumstances that unfolded in the aftermath of his great experience. Acts chapter 9 at verse 19. Saul spent several days with the disciples in Damascus. At once he began to preach in the synagogues that Jesus is the Son of God. All those who heard him were astonished and asked, "Isn't he the man who caused havoc in Jerusalem among those who call on this name? And hasn't he come here to take them as prisoners to the chief priests?" Yet Saul grew more and more powerful and baffled the Jews living in Damascus by proving that Jesus is the Christ. After many days had gone by, the Jews conspired to kill him. But Saul learned of their plan. Day and night they kept close watch on the city gates in order to kill him. But his followers took him by night and lowered him in a basket through an opening in the wall. When he came to Jerusalem, he tried to join the disciples, but they were all afraid of him, not believing that he really was a disciple. But Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles. He told them how Saul on his journey had seen the Lord, and that the Lord had spoken to him, and how in Damascus he had preached fearlessly in the name of Jesus. So Saul stayed with them and moved about freely in Jerusalem, speaking boldly in the name of the Lord. He talked and debated with the Grecian Jews, but they tried to kill him. When the brothers learned of this, they took him down to Caesarea and sent him off to Tarsus. Thanks be to God for his word to us, and may he give us grace to lay hold on his truth for our growth in grace. Now let us pray. God, our Father, we pray for your light at this time as we seek your truth and pray that it will take rest in all our hearts and be the inner motivation that we need to walk still closer to our Lord. And we pray this in his name. Amen. Friends, a few years ago I attended a meeting at the Mitchell Theatre. There was to be a speaker that night, a man named Clarence Jones. And when I heard that he was going to be there, I made it a priority to be present, because Clarence Jones was once a close friend and advisor to Martin Luther King. And he had written a book about that speech, which many people believe is the greatest speech of the 20th century, the speech that was given at the Lincoln Memorial in 1963, known as the I Have a Dream speech. He had written a book about that speech and how it all had come together. And I have to say that for someone like myself, it was a considerable thrill just to be in the same room as someone who actually knew Martin. But he also told us about a course that he ran in various universities in the United States. He's over 80 now, Clarence Jones, but he's still running this course from one end of the country to the other, and it's entitled, From Slavery to Obama. From Slavery to Obama. And he said, "I'd love to run that course sometime in Glasgow because I love to tell the story. I love to tell the story." And we can understand, friends, why he loves to tell the story, and we can understand why that story is attractive, because it's the story of a great turnaround. A great turnaround from being part of a disadvantaged community within the United States to actually reaching to the center of power, not only for the United States, but arguably for the whole world. It's the kind of story anyone would love to tell, a story of a great turnaround. And I'm quite sure that Saul the Pharisee loved to tell his story of the turnaround in his life. In fact, he tells that story twice in the Acts of the Apostles. If you read on through the book that we've been studying these past months, he tells the story at least twice, and you can be sure that he's telling it on whatever occasion he is given opportunity. And not only that, but other people liked to tell the story. We're told in our passage this morning that this man Barnabas was willing to step into the breach when it became plain to Saul and to many other people that others were not willing to accept that he had been converted. Barnabas stepped in and told the story. And Paul himself, as he became later on when he's writing a letter to the churches in Galatia, he tells us that churches all over the Roman Empire were telling his story. They were saying that the man who once persecuted us is now preaching the faith that he once tried to destroy. A story of a great turnaround, which not only Paul loved to tell, but those who were close to him loved to tell. And I'm sure that when they were telling the story, they would emphasize what was involved for Paul in this new life that he undertook. Because pretty soon, as Paul embarked on the Christian life, he would learn to appreciate the new friends that he had. The turnaround meant new friends. Paul had been settled, or Saul as he was at that time, had been very settled in the faith of Israel. He was well established in this faith. He was zealous for this faith, as he himself once wrote. But now he's cut off from that. He's cut off from the stability of his old faith. He's cut off from those people who admired him as one of the great teachers of the faith. And he's cut off from the prospect he had of becoming one of the greatest men in Israel. That was certainly a possibility for young Saul the Pharisee. But now he's been cut loose from his moorings, and there is bound to have been anxieties for the future. And there's bound to be some doubt in his mind as to whether he's going to be accepted by the wider Christian community. But it's very moving for us to see in our passage how the disciples in Damascus, the people who were in danger of Saul coming amongst them and arresting them and taking them back to Jerusalem to be tried, these very people gathered round him to support him. And later on in the story, we're told that a group of people called Saul's followers had gathered round him. People who understood that this former Pharisee had a unique insight into the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And there were also people who were willing to protect him, to take him out of harm's way when others were plotting to kill him. And there were others, obviously Barnabas, but there were others too who were willing to speak up for him when others were putting a question mark against the integrity of his faith. So what we're seeing in the story is that Saul had left one fellowship, but he had actually been embraced by another fellowship, and it was a better fellowship because it had been created by the Holy Spirit of God. That was the foundation for Paul's life. It was the springboard for his mission these people in the Lord Jesus Christ who had embraced him. And he never ceased to give thanks to God for those people. And I believe that this is something that we need to focus more upon, friends. Especially in these days of great challenge for the church when cracks are appearing all over the place. We need to focus on the nature of a community of faith. A people who are focused on the central conviction of the faith that Jesus is the Son of God. That's the message that Paul preached. It's from that central truth that we will draw our strength. We do that and we also support one another in the faith and in difficult days. And we look to one another for our inspiration. Because all around us there are stories of people who keep the faith in difficult circumstances. Now I know that people have bad experiences in churches. People have had bad experiences in this church. But Saul would know what it was to have bad experiences in the church too. There is a sense in which when he came to the end of his life, there was heartbreak for the people who had let him down, for those who had abandoned the faith, for those who had left him in great difficulty without any help. But he never lost his appreciation of all those around him who had supported him, who had accepted him, who had shared the faith and the work with him. Remember years ago, a pal of mine, we finished our training at the same time. We've been licensed together as preachers after our studies. And a lady in one of the churches where he had trained came up to him on that night and said to him, "There are going to be times in the years ahead when you feel that you're battering your head against a brick wall. But just remember, there are people behind that brick wall and they're praying for you." And that's been a very precious moment in my friend's life. And I often think about it myself. To have fellowship in the Lord is to have people who are on the other side of the brick wall and they're praying for you. Saul had new friends. Saul also had a new message to preach. It's amazing, you know, that it's quite a short time, really, before he's back on the road again, having been strengthened after his experiences. And he goes to the synagogues. Saul goes to the synagogues and he preaches that Jesus is the Son of God. And those who are listening are amazed because that was the message that he despised so much. The reason he was in Damascus was to try and ensure that this message would not receive any further advancement. And some people have said, well, it's a bit soon to be doing that. Could this really be the case? But actually, I'm not surprised at this, friends. Remember, Saul is an expert in the scriptures. And he's been given a new way to read these scriptures. He's been given a totally new perspective on it. He's been working it out with the disciples in Damascus. And now this light has gone on inside his head. It's all coming together in Jesus. Everything that I ever hoped for. Everything that we ever aspire to as the people of God. It has all come together in Jesus. And I need to tell people about this. It's not something that I can hold back. And so he goes to the sharp end of the debate and preaches that Jesus is the Son of God. You see, what has happened, friends, is that Paul has grasped that Jesus is the key. He is the key to everything that he wanted to experience in his life. Jesus is the way to God. Jesus is the truth that God seeks to establish in this world. And Jesus is the quality of life which you don't just experience in this life, but which continues beyond our experience of death. It has all come together in Jesus for Paul. And we're told that his preaching became even more powerful, even as people were opposing him and asking questions about him. His delivery of this message was becoming more powerful. He didn't convince everyone, but they were standing in awe at the conviction that lay at the very heart of this preaching. And it persisted in that mysterious period that Paul was in Arabia. We don't know what he was doing. This was after the experience in Damascus. But surely he wasn't just meditating and having cozy talks with people. I'm sure he persisted in his preaching. And when he came back to Damascus, he continued to preach the message. And then going into Jerusalem, the place where he tried to stop the preaching of the gospel, there he is, walking the streets, proclaiming that Jesus is the Son of God. And you see, I believe, friends, that Saul was able to do this from the beginning of his Christian life until the end. He was able to continue to do this through all the challenges that he came up against because the message was always new. The message was always new. He had a constant appreciation of all that Christ had done for him. And to get in touch with that once again, as he was sharing it with people, was to live again the experience of becoming new in Christ. Always, when Paul preached the gospel, there was the power of God. He wasn't saying to folk, now here's an interesting perspective on God. Or here's something for you to think about. Paul was talking about a power which had renewed him completely. It made him a new creation. He was testifying to the power of God coming into his life. He was saying, I'm not just talking about this. I'm the living proof of this. That through Jesus Christ you can have an eternal connection with God. In this life, but also in the next. And when he came to write a letter of encouragement to the Christians of Rome, no wonder he was able to say, I am not ashamed of this gospel. Because it's the power of God for the salvation of men and women. Not food for thought. Not an interesting perspective on life. It's the power of God for the salvation of men and women. I haven't just turned over a new leaf, says Paul. I'm not just intellectually more satisfied. I'm not just pursuing a new cause. If any person is in Christ, they are a new creation. That's what I am. Eternally connected to God. Having stepped in to the surge of his movement towards a new heaven and a new earth. Confident that he will be with me in every change and challenge of life. And friends, if we are to reach the generation of which we are a part, then that same confidence in the gospel has to be there. That it has happened to us. And therefore we bear witness to it. Not secondhand, but as people who have experienced the power of God. Saul had new friends. He had a new message. And he had new challenges. It wasn't all plain sailing from the beginning, was it? You know, there were people asking questions in the synagogues. You know, is this not the man who was trying to destroy this movement of Jesus' people? Is this not the man who was trying to stifle this gospel? And we hear that after the Arabian experience, he comes back to Damascus and there are people plotting to kill him. Because of his preaching. As the story unfolds, this story that he loved to tell, he's becoming more and more in the line of fire. He's been placed more and more in harm's way. And that is going to continue throughout the rest of his ministry. You know, if you have time, go to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. And read there about Paul being in prison, being flogged, nearly dying of exposure, being beaten with rods, being stoned, being shipwrecked, being constantly on the move, being in danger from rivers, in danger from bandits, in danger from my own countrymen, in danger from Gentiles, in danger in the city, in danger in the country, in danger at sea, and in danger from false brothers. Hungry, homeless, cold, naked, and every day facing the pressure of my concern for all the churches. That was the reality of the apostle's life. From having this security within the Pharisaic community, having this privileged position in Israel. The whole world is oyster. And he swapped it for that. And the challenges never ceased. And who are we to expect that our Christian lives are going to be any different? You know, I was reading a book that a friend of mine wrote. And how he got a letter from a young woman that said how much more difficult life had seemed to her since Christ had taken hold of her. That's not really what we want to say to the world, is it? Put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and experience more challenges. And you know, there are times, folks, let me be honest, I get weary of it all. And sometimes I wish that things could be easier. But then I think of the story that I am part of. A story that is written for us in God's Word and a story that is still unfolding. And I think of Jonah in the belly of the great fish praising his God. And I think of Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego. We're talking about them at the evening service tonight. I think of these young men about to be incinerated because of their faith. And they still trust in their God. Our God is able to save us from this fire. But even if he doesn't, he's still our God. And I think of Paul and Silas having been beaten up. And their feet fastened in stocks in a prison. And they're singing hymns in praise of their God. And I think of the Apostle John, who had a vision of the risen and ascended Lord Jesus Christ, who saw the veil being drawn back and he saw what heaven is like. And it didn't happen in a cathedral. It didn't happen in a special place that people were invited to go to.
to experience God. It happened in the equivalent of a concentration camp in the Aegean Sea. These people went through the challenges. These people understood that there would always be challenges, but they would never be without their God. Nothing will ever separate me from His love, said the Apostle Paul. And that astonishing statement that Paul was to make in Philippians chapter 4, where he says, in prison, I have learned to be content, whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do everything through Him who gives me strength. My God is not absent through the difficult times. He's working His good and loving purpose for my life. We began with a reference to Martin Luther King. You know, he once said, the ultimate measure of a man is not where he stands in moments of comfort and convenience, but where he stands at times of challenge and controversy. And that measure can be taken, friends, in how firmly we will stand with our God. Let's pray. God, our Father, we give thanks to You for the great story of people who turn to the Lord Jesus. And we thank You that we have been caught up in this. And we pray that You would enable us to appreciate one another more as we go forward in our witness. That the message would be forever new and forever powerful in our lives. And that we would face the challenges in faith, knowing that there is nothing that will ever separate us from Your love. And that we are moving towards that time when Jesus will return and there will be a new heaven and a new earth. We pray all this in His name. Amen.